Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. In the past two programs, we've been looking at the parallels between the national decline of ancient Israel and the current decline of America. Program 524 was about how wealth and affluence has a negative effect upon a nation. And last week, program 525, we looked at the question, can America have a revival? And we examined the true nature of revivals in ancient Israel. Well, this week, I'd like to continue in the same vein and discuss the false prophets in America. Even as there were false prophets in ancient Israel, the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. The point Peter is making is don't assume that the time of the new covenant will be any different than the time of the old covenant in that regard. It's not as if the sending of the Holy Spirit and the power of the church will erase all possibilities of false teachers. No, Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, the wicked will continue to act wickedly. And Matthew 10, 16, Jesus said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. The main point I want us to get today is that before the destruction and the deportation of ancient Israel in 586 BC, the overall message of the false prophets was that Israel's best days are ahead, that there'll be no judgment, that God will protect his people. All you have to do is name it and claim it. And if we exercise a word of faith, the nation will be healed. And the prophet Jeremiah was mocked and ridiculed for saying otherwise. Jeremiah, the true prophet of the Lord, looked like a faithless pessimist. And among the various texts we will look at in this regard is Jeremiah 14:15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them. Yet they kept saying, there will be no sword or famine in this land, but by sword and famine those prophets shall meet their end. And there are dozens of texts in the Old Testament explaining this false message of hope that the popular prophets in Israel were prophesying right before the fall of the nation. And that should give us pause, since the pattern of prophecy is timeless. Prophecy is meant to have a continual application for every generation. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things happened to them as examples for us. So before the fall of America, we should expect and be ready for a rash of false prophets. Prophets who are saying America will not see the sword or famine, that what we're experiencing is just a temporary downturn like those of the past, and that a new day is dawning and the sun is rising upon the nation. Now, of course, we all want hope. We all want to hear good news. But let's remember that our hope is not in this world, but in the world to come. We're to fix our hope firmly on the grace that is to be brought to us at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, and our hope is not to be on the nation or the nations. Remember Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms. So we know how the story ends. But sometimes in our patriotic zeal and our love for country, which is a good thing, we listen to the wrong voices. We get too optimistic, and we need to look back to the scriptures to be reminded that judgment is coming. Not on the church, but upon the nations and this world. So let's begin by looking at the situation in ancient Israel to get a sense of what God's people were experiencing before the fall of Israel. We need to see how the true people of God had to detect and then reject the message of the false prophets, even though these false prophets were in the majority. Now, Jeremiah was called to be the true prophet of the Lord during the 40 years leading up to Israel's final destruction. And God told him from the beginning that the people would fight against him and he was not to be afraid. So right from the beginning, we learn how irate the unsaved will be toward the true message. Now, you would think that with the good news of the gospel, forgiveness and eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, people would love us. But no, when they hear the prospects of hell, and they hear they have to give up their sin, they hate us for that message. And even though Jeremiah preached the judgment to come, Jeremiah gave the hope that if the people would repent, God would save them. But that didn't matter because they were offended by the message of judgment. Because in their pride, they didn't want to believe their sin was so bad as to deserve judgment. So any promises of forgiveness through repentance was despised all the more. Jeremiah recounts what the people were saying in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 35. Yet you say, I'm innocent. Surely God's anger is turned away from me. Now, we also read about the emotional stress that came upon Jeremiah. It's one thing if you have to preach a negative message for a couple of years. But after 40 years of doing this, without friends, without support, it began to take its toll on Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20, I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud, I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones and I'm weary of holding it in and I cannot endure it. For I've heard the whispering of many. Terror on every side. Denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watch for my fall, saying perhaps he will be deceived, so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. So we see the emphasis of Jeremiah's message that violence and destruction were coming. And for Jeremiah, there was this temptation to keep quiet, but he couldn't keep quiet because he loved the Lord and the truth. It was like a fire in his soul, and he had to tell the truth. So in that chapter, chapter 20, Jeremiah finds strength by again exercising faith in the person and the promises of God. And we need to constantly do the same if we're to be faithful servants of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a dreaded champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed. But now, concerning the false prophets Jeremiah was up against, that's our focus today. Their message was the opposite of Jeremiah's. While Jeremiah was saying judgment is coming, they were saying peace is coming. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. Again, this is repeated in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11. They have healed the brokenness of the daughters of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. Jeremiah 14, 13. But Lord God, I said, look at the prophets are telling them. You will not see sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Jeremiah 23, 17. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said you will have peace. As for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. Now, there are a few major events recorded in the book of Jeremiah in this regard, and every Christian should know these, such as Jeremiah's sermon in Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah points out that the whole nation of Judah has lied about the Lord, about the character and the judgments of God. They were depicting Jehovah God as a celestial Santa Claus, and like the god Baal. Jeremiah 5:12, they have lied about the Lord and said, not he, misfortune will not come upon us, and we will not see sword or famine. The prophets are as wind, and the word is not in them, thus it will be done to them. Then in Jeremiah chapter 19 and chapter 20, Jeremiah preaches a sermon at Topheth about coming judgment, and when he arrives back in Jerusalem, Pashur the priest has Jeremiah arrested, beaten and put in stocks. Why? Well, because the temple priests, in their spiritual apostasy, thought that Jeremiah was preaching heresy, demeaning Israel. And as priests, they thought that they had a responsibility to censor false teaching. Kind of reminds us of Jesus' words in John chapter 16. The hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he's offering service to God. Why would that be? Well, because they're serving the wrong God. Now in Jeremiah chapter 28, Jeremiah shows up at the temple carrying a yoke of an oxen on his shoulder, saying that Israel must take the yoke of Babylon. It was kind of like an object lesson. Hananiah, one of the false prophets, was so angry at this message that Jeremiah was preaching that he took the yoke off of Jeremiah and broke it. And then Hananiah said, in 2 years, the Babylonian Empire is going to be broken. Which, of course, according to history, wasn't true. Well, God tells Jeremiah to put upon himself a yoke of iron and return to the temple. Try to break that. Then Jeremiah says to Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. You have made the people trust the lie. In Jeremiah 23, we read Jeremiah's lengthy sermon against the false prophets. I always think of Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus speaks against the Pharisees, and Jeremiah 23, where Jeremiah speaks against the false prophets in his day. Verse 11, the prophets and the priests are polluted. Verse 13, they prophesy by Baal and lead my people astray. Verse 16, they're leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination and not from the mouth of the Lord. And the main message of the false prophets was that they keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And we can just use our sanctified imagination and imagine that these false prophets were reading the Jewish blessing to the people. Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. These priests thought they had the power of blessing. So, hey, they thought they were following the scripture. In the reading of the Jeremiah text, it's very easy to miss how subtle the deception of these false prophets. It wasn't as easy to discern as you might think. I mean, these prophets seemed like they were men of faith. They had confidence in God. Jeremiah mentions they keep saying the temple of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4. Do not trust in deceptive words saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. What's that all about? Well, the claim was that since this was God's house, and since God, Jehovah God, was more powerful than the false gods of the Babylonians and the Assyrians, there is no way that the Babylonians are going to destroy the temple of the Lord. Plus, remember, under King Hezekiah, the Assyrians had Jerusalem surrounded, but Hezekiah prayed, and that night the angel of the Lord slew 185,000 Assyrians in their sleep. So in Jeremiah's day, the people expected God would again come through for them in the end, that the temple of the Lord could never be destroyed. And after all, they were praying to Jehovah for the deliverance of the city. And isn't that the promise? If you pray, God will deliver. But Jeremiah says to the people in Jeremiah 7, behold, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, in the temple, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered? What, you're delivered so that you can do all of these abominations? So yes, the people prayed in the temple, but there was no repentance and holy living. And also realize that the term Baal was just a generic Canaanite name for God. And the ecumenicalism was deceptive. As far as the Jews were concerned, it's all the same God. Regardless of whether you're speaking in Hebrew or Assyrian or Aramaic or Canaanite. So the question we all have now is how are the true believers in Israel to know who are the true prophets and who are the false prophets? Do you believe the prophets who bring the message of judgment, or do you believe the prophets who bring the message of peace? Moses brought the message of conquering Canaan, and he was a true prophet. Isaiah was a true prophet, and he told King Ahaz that Israel would defeat the Syrians. So it's not that the true prophets only prophesied curses upon the nation. Well, the only way to tell was by moral discernment. The one who is offended and grieved by the sins of the people, the ones who recognize the seriousness of Israel's cultural sins, would move toward the Jeremiah camp. But the ones who didn't think that the national sins were that big of a deal would move toward the camp of the false prophets. And since the majority of people had such a low view of sin and God, the false prophets were more popular with the people. The people couldn't imagine that this nice God, Jehovah, would bring judgment upon them. So again, the false prophets were the most popular. They controlled the worship in the temple. They had the government-paid positions. They had the large following. And although we read now in retrospect of Jeremiah being the main character, please understand that in his day, Jeremiah was an outlier. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. Probably many people in Israel didn't even know his name. Now here's the point of all of this history. What happened to ancient Israel in her apostasy is the same as what's happening in America today. Just like ancient Israel before her judgment, she was inundated with false prophets saying Israel would be great again. So expect America to also have a huge influx of false teachers saying that America's best days are ahead. And they will say this right before the fall of America. Remember 1 Thessalonians. It's when they say peace and safety that sudden destruction will come upon them. They will be saying and preaching and teaching peace and safety. And it will be very subtle, just like it was in Jeremiah's day. It will be hard to identify and mark these false prophets because they will sound so biblical and they will sound so convincing. Especially since we read texts such as 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not despise prophetic utterances. And that verse is often used as a blank check to justify all sorts of false prophecies coming from the Word of Faith movement. But we also read in Scripture, 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. Now, when we think of false prophets, we may limit them to false religions and cults. But these false prophets operate under the titles of evangelicalism. For example, here's a prophet, Ken Dewey. His website, His Kingdom Prophecy, quote, God said there'll be another 10 years in America after 2020, ending in 2030. The Lord said there'll be a great revival like never before after January 2021. I am saying to you, this has been a prophetic word for America, for I am an American prophet, unquote. And there are many prophets like this in the Word of Faith movement. Well, these prophets start off by quoting Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. And of course, since God has his hand in the election of every president and every economic event, these people think that God will be telling the church all that's about to happen through a prophetic word. So they look for these prophets to predict who's the next president and when the next revival is going to come. Then there was also the infamous prophet Kim Clement from South Africa, who foretold that Donald Trump would be president. Clement prophesied in his meetings that Trump shall become a trumpet, saith the Lord. And Bill Gates will open up the gates of a financial realm for the church. And I will once again stand and watch over the nation. Trump will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way. And the economy will change rapidly, saith the Lord. I looked up a number of his other videos, and there was language such as, the opposition will be converted. My song will be sung in a foreign land. I'm removing the cloud and giving a new soul to the nation. The times of refreshing and restoration will come. This will be a revival that no one has ever seen before. And this is the word of the Spirit by which you will conquer. Well, if you study the book of Jeremiah and the other prophets at the time of Israel's demise, the scary thing is that Clement sounds exactly like the false prophets of ancient Israel. Speaking from their own imagination, assuming that the thoughts that come to their minds are from the Lord because they consider themselves prophets. And they were telling people that there would be peace, peace. And they were telling people there would be revival. They were telling a nation that departed from the Lord that calamity would not come, that Jehovah was with them. And the false prophets also said that there would be a spirit of revival and blessing poured down upon them. But remember what Jesus said about the age before the apocalypse. When he comes, will he find faith on earth? And Matthew 24, false prophets will arise so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. They will be convincing. Now, I always lose some of my audience when I criticize the word of faith prophets. But even if you're offended, at least remember that some pastors were telling you that before judgment fell upon ancient Israel, there were false prophets speaking in the name of Jehovah, saying revival and blessing were about to come. And that the true prophets, who are saying that the nation is done for, God has removed his blessing, they were ignored. Because nobody wanted to hear that message. I'm about out of time, but I want to also point out that the false prophets predicting America's prosperity are not just coming from within Christian circles, but there are many secular versions of this message, such as in political conservative circles, the QAnon predictions that the Patriots will be able to win back America and conquer the left, and in liberal circles, the wishful thinking is that by their globalism, by their open borders, by their Build Back Better programs, it's going to result in a new dawn for America, that the best is yet to come. So everyone, secular and religious, are saying peace and safety. And they will be saying peace and safety right before the sudden destruction comes upon them and they will not escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Now you say, wow, Pastor, you're a real downer. Well, it might seem that way, but I'm giving you the emphasis of Scripture that the world is passing away, 1 John 2. That all these things will be destroyed, 1 Peter 3. And 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is at hand. So let's stop putting our hope in this world and let's realize that the coming judgment upon our nation only foreshadows our deliverance. When we see these things take place, we're to look up for our redemption draws nigh. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to be counterculture, to not fall into the spirit of this age, or to fall for the word of the false prophets. Help us to reflect your true message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.